Dr. Michael Ventris, meteorologist Sean Brett, and your host, Colin Golzinski.
We are back, guys, with week 7 fantasy football weather guys, brought to you here by myself, Colin Golzinski, our on-staff meteorologist Sean Bratton, and Dr. Michael Ventris. So good to see you guys again. Welcome to week 7.
Always a pleasure, Colin. We're excited to be here as always. And you know what? We got some fun weather to talk about. And in the light of the season, I've brought a little surprise for you guys.
I'm excited. Ooh. We didn't know about this. This really is a surprise.
Okay. Oh yeah, ready? Here we go. Guys, we got a winter snow game to pay.
Oh my God. Is that your version of a dunce cap?
I mean, it's a New York Jets hat. So I'm just going to cover that up here to make it look a little bit better. And you know, it's we're just here ready to talk about some wintry weather here, week 7.
So yeah, we got some exciting stuff to talk about this week. We finally get a snow game, so we're super excited to talk about that today.
Which is kind of it's like deja vu, just a couple months or a month or two earlier. It's going to be the Kansas City Chiefs at Denver. It was Denver at Kansas City last year, but it's the same teams. That rivalry's live and well. I'm sure they'll have a blast in Denver. I don't know if Denver's letting fans, but it seems like every stadium's letting in the little pockets of fans. So that'll be a cool conversation. I do want to bring everyone's attention that 2 weeks ago, Mike and Sean were guests at the Carolina Weather Group. Their podcast, it's on our website. It's also on their YouTube channel at Carolina Weather Group. If you want to go see them discuss our products with some other weather, I don't mean it to be derogatory, nerds, like you guys used to say that term with them. So
that's okay. We're okay with that, Colin.
I will say, wait. I enjoyed
the terminology is weenies, okay? We're weather weenies. That's where it comes down to.
If you're going
to
get technical, it's a weenie.
I will say, I did watch it this week. I find it very interesting. It was a little bit technical for me, but I'm sure a lot of the weather buffs out there will enjoy it, seeing a different side of a weather group that are kind of trying to do it like a little mainstream, small. And it was good. You guys did great.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Colin.
So last week, we did have a weather event we just want to recap quickly on, and it has to do with Kansas City again. Kansas City is our team of weather. The Kansas City Buffalo game was, one, interesting for time. It was a 5 o'clock Eastern game, which I thoroughly enjoyed at the time.
And this is a Monday night, right?
Monday night, yeah. It was a Monday night game. And it was because Bills were Tuesday night the week before.
Oh, yeah.
It's all the COVID craziness. So, Sean, if you want to walk us through just a little bit of brief what happened there, what we saw, and we'll get to this week's games.
Yeah, really interesting event. And typically we see this more in the winter, but this was a lake enhanced event. And usually we talk about this in terms of lake effect snow, but not quite cold enough for snow. Temperatures were in the upper 40s, 50s for the game. But what we had is what we call a mesoscale feature. So again, a very small scale feature that was lake enhanced rain. And this was a very persistent small pocket of rain. And if you watch the game, you notice that this rain was the entire game, and it really picked up in the second half. But that was a very small, and it literally, I was watching radar for this game, and there was this pocket of precipitation that just sat there for like 3 hours for the Kansas City Buffalo game. And for those of you who saw it, it did have an effect. Our over under for that, I think, was like 57 points. 57.5
and 43.
57.5 points. We did not reach that, not even close. Mike, what was the score for that?
40.
Yeah, it was a total of 43 points.
Yeah, 43
points, exactly. So.
Yeah, 43. And, you know, I know some people who took the over on that when they thought about it, because you had Josh Allen having a stellar first part of the season, and Mahomes. I mean, you know.
Yeah, a lot of fancy points in that game that had potential, and it seems like the weather just kind of stifled production there. And unfortunately,
122 yards for Josh Allen. Unbelievable. Yeah.
What's really unfortunate here is that, you know, when we were looking at this on Friday last week, we shot, you know, our models didn't really highlight all that risk. And
Thursday,
it was Thursday night. Yeah. So,
yeah, Thursday.
Unfortunately, sometimes these mesoscale lake enhanced types of, you know, these weather patterns that are really micro scale, essentially, to the location, they can kind of go into the cracks. So,
yeah,
one of those tough ones.
Yeah, it was. But let me tell you, the weather effects were real in this one. The announcers were bringing it up. It was very obvious. The yards per play were down. People could not get the ball downfield. Not a lot of big plays. Mekhale Hartman was taken out of this game. Tyreek Hill was taken out of this game. And really, to a certain extent, especially in the second half, Patrick Mahomes was. The lone driver in this offense seemed to be Clyde Edwards-Helaire with around 26 carries, over 160 yards in this game, with Le'Veon Bell on the doorstep, going to be in action this week. But they were going ground and pound for the second half. Andy Reid wanted to take the running game to the next level, and we saw it in this game.
Buffalo, the leading rusher was who? Josh Allen, 42 yards, was leading the Buffalo Bills in rushing. And then Singletary with 32.
Yeah, I mean, this also highlights, hey, who is the better player here? Edwards-Helaire.
Edwards longest run of 31 yards matches almost Singletary's total yards.
Yeah. So was this Hilaire's last hurrah before, you know, the new regime comes in?
Well, and I said this last week, I think Le'Veon Bell takes over goal line work, and I think he takes down passing, third down passing duties. But I still think Clyde Edwards-Helaire is going to have a good amount of carries. I think he still has a chance to establish himself, especially if he's putting up 26 for 161. His problem is he's not getting into the end zone. So I am worried about the upside with him. And I think Le'Veon Bell will take some of those carries.
I'd still take the 16 points.
He had a good game on Monday.
Week, though. 660 yards. So interesting game. It was cool to see weather. So moving on, if you can see this, I shared our table. And I want to bring it up for the guys. Sorry, just bear with me, guys. So we have two games that we are seeing this week. And they are the Dallas at Washington and, like we said, the Kansas City at Denver, which will have a snow event. So, Mike, why don't you lead the way with the Dallas at Washington first, and then we'll get to the Kansas City game.
Yeah, sure. So when we look at our weather maps on our website, there is an area of precipitation or rain that's predicted to move in from like a southwest to northeast direction here. So when Colin goes back to Sunday afternoon around AT&Z, which is like a 1 p.m. time, you can see how the little circle there turns orange. And you can see this is right where there's a shield of precipitation that looks to be associated with some kind of short front or short wave will feature. And this is something that the models are still trying to sniff out, essentially, right? We're looking at some volatility in the models, some variability between some of the different weather models. And the take-home message here is there's a chance for some moderate rain during the game.
So, Sean, we see that Andy Dalton's going to be starting in this game. What does that mean for Andy Dalton playing in the rain at Washington, possible?
Yeah, and I think we'll have a chance to maybe preview this a little bit during our podcast today, which is super exciting. But we did some research given our new research analytics tool that our friend Nick Schiraldi built for us. And we were doing a little research with Andy Dalton, and what we found was that on average, you know, during rainy games, there's not a big difference between how he performs in inclement weather, including rain, and how he performs normally in fair weather games. There does seem to be a tendency for a little drop. So I wouldn't be surprised if he, you know, shows about a 5 to 10% decrease in fantasy point production. This may be surprising, but Washington is ranked number 2 this year in their passing defense as far as yards given up. They've only given up 207 yards. They crushed it against, well, this isn't a big statement, but against Daniel Jones last week, the Giants. But, you know, they have had some good games on defense in the passing game. So between that, the rain, Andy Dalton being new, kind of into this offense, getting his footing and all that, I don't trust him in this game.
Yeah. Go ahead, I agree with the Andy Dalton comment. Yeah, we're just saying that he played most of his career in essentially Cincinnati, right? So now he's getting introduced into a new system, going up against a tougher Washington defense in a rain game. You just have to be worried about some of the upside there with some of the wide receivers in Dallas. I do want to mention what is showing right now to the folks on the Twitch stream and whoever's watching this on the YouTube is a new analytical platform that we've been building out. And it's a really cool thing that this is still kind of hush-hush. This is the premiere of it, right? This is a prototype. So it could very well look like this when we continue to fine tune it, but like we're starting to build out these cool things where you can essentially change the inputs to temperature or wind speed or precipitation, and then you can actually look at how you can actually change the point scoring system in the top right there. Right now we're in PPR, but you can go for different thresholds there to kind of look at how, you know, whatever you want to slice and dice the data. But the main thing here is you can compare some of these players, how they go in weather events, and compare them to their normal stats. And what we're showing on the left there is a little bit complicated. This is a math thing. So whoever, you know, we're still trying to figure out the best way to display this, right, guys? It's complicated. I mean, when we're looking at these curves.
The analogy I use for this is when you go to a car show, you see the cars for the prototype is what's going to come out in a year or two for the car. And it looks like that, but it's never really the prototype. So this is our prototype. This is for us, but it's complicated, and they're walking me through it too. And if, you know, if you're a weather weenie, you'll get some of this, but go ahead, talk us through what we're.
Yeah. So, I mean, but the main message here is, okay, the green bars are indication of how the player performs in weather. The orange is how they perform in fair weather conditions, normal conditions. When we have our bars more on the right-hand side of our graph, that means they're performing better. They're doing better. When they're more on the left-hand side of the graph, closer to the y-axis, that means they're not doing so well. So this is, we have, you know, five events for Andy Dalton in this case, and we could see the way the bars are stacked, the green bars. We have a few off to the left, but we also have a few maybe in the center, a little bit to the right. So we have a little bit of a sampling size issue here, but what we're showing on average is that, you know, he tends to perform on average about as he would in a fair weather game. Now, again, consider the defense. The defense has been playing pretty well. You know, I would maybe side on him maybe not doing quite as well as his normal distribution would show. But I don't think there's going to be a large difference. I would interpret this as his upside is capped. I don't expect him to have a tremendous game, but I think he'll get you a few fantasy points.
So if you're planning on starting Andy Dalton, the point is here is start him because he's probably going to hit his mean most likely. But
But he's got a tough defense matchup.
Right. You know, someday I'll finish my statements, but Mike's always quicker on the trigger. So if we want to go to our next game that we were showing in the table, it is the big event. This is our main event that we're really showing this week. And I just want to bring everyone back to a nice little December game that we can see. And this is Kansas City or Denver at Kansas City in the snow. And I believe that's Tyreek Hill having fun. So maybe hopefully he didn't have a great game that day, but he is having fun.
He did actually.
Tyreek Hill, I thought his longest catch was 20 yards.
So he had two touchdowns.
He was 5 for 67, but he had two TDs.
So, bailed out by the touchdowns.
Right. So. I guess when I think of Tyreek Hill, I think of a streaker getting the big plays. But you're right. I mean, fantasy-wise, great game.
Well,
go ahead, John. No, go ahead, John.
Collins, your point, his upside on Monday, when we saw him on Monday in inclement weather, they couldn't get the ball downfield to him, so he did not have such a good game. But in this game last year in Denver, he scored two touchdowns. But for this week, again, like Colin said, this is our main event. And I mentioned in the weather blog on our website that typically October is a transitional month. This is when weather starts to rear its ugly head. This time of year, we typically see our air masses change. And we have a cold air mass in place for our Denver game. This game is on Sunday at 4:25. Not only are we expecting snow for this, but it's also going to be cold. We're talking in the teens. We're talking 15 to 20 degrees, and that could even get a little bit lower towards the end of the game. Now, what we have here is an area of low pressure that's over the southern Rockies. This is basically a merging of two areas of low pressure, and we have this large trough that's digging into the northern plains. And with that, a front is going to be setting up. And we're going to have a cold front set up. And along that front, we're going to have some precipitation that's going to move into the area throughout the day on Sunday. Now, we're expecting amounts to be around 2 to 6 inches or isolated heavier amounts at higher elevations. But the big news here is that we are expecting snow. It's going to be cold. And winds can be 10 to 15 miles an hour, potentially 20 mile an hour gusts. So it's almost like we have all three weather or types of weather that we usually try to identify all in one event.
And I brought the wind map.
So this could be
up.
A potentially large event.
And I brought the wind map up showing that the wind that you're talking about with the at the time of the game.
Yeah, yeah. And it's going to be small because you have the mountain influences. So there's going to be a lot of what we call downsloping wind off the mountains as well. So there could be some areas that are a little bit windier. But regardless, what we're expecting is a definitely impactful game. And with the Kansas City Chiefs playing, people have fantasy players playing in those games.
We have a lot of people to talk about. I mean, let's start with the man of the year, I think, in my mind, is tight ends. I mean, he's a beast, right? So we're going to bring you back to our module. And we're gonna talk about Kelce, right? He's the big one with the type of game that could happen here.
Yep. So the beauty about this, what Colin's doing right now, is you can actually filter out players. Yeah, you can look at all positionals together, and then you can actually change and fine-tune these statistics to look at how an individual player can perform in certain weather conditions.
I don't know. A half point is our league. I'll do full point PPR.
Yeah, I'll see you over 4 point.
Yeah, there we go. So this is, look at Travis Kelce, weather events. This is cool. You can see he is above his mean and that he may see some upside here in this weather. So,
Go ahead, Mike.
Mike, why don't you take this one and explain what we're seeing here for the viewers?
Oh, yeah, yeah. So like you can see on this chart here that many of the green bars are to the right of the peak of the orange, right, meaning Kelce outperforms his typical averages here for his career. And he can actually pretty much boom here in some of these weather games where you see some points, he had a 25-point game and a 34-point game. You know, if you look back to last year, and I believe this is at the bottom of the chart here, he actually scored, he had 142 yards. Yep. And his total fantasy points for the day was 25.2 points. So in these weather driven games, Kelce performs. And you have to wonder, guys, is it an Andy Reid strategy? Is he going to the big man or is it a Patrick Mahomes?
Yeah, but I think it's a Patrick Mahomes thing. I think it's a safety net.
I mean, 3 years prior to that, though, 160 yards, one touchdown, 33 points. I mean, he does well in weather events like this.
He does. I mean, at any time that Patrick Mahomes threw the ball on Monday, we saw him going to Travis Kelce. Now, the worry was he wasn't able to get downfield. We saw him slipping and sliding, falling to make some catches. It was hard to throw accurate passes, but he trusts him in inclement weather. That's the message that I get here. I think Travis Kelce has some tremendous upside. I think he's at least going to get the volume and the opportunity, especially in the red zone. I wouldn't be surprised to see over 100 yards and a TD for Kelce in this game.
I think his average, I would say. I think he's going to outperform his average.
So what's interesting here is, you know, I've been doing a lot of DFS podcast listening to what the industry is saying. And a lot of folks this week are pretty much punting the tight end category, which is fine. You could do this for the strategy and try to, you know, optimize somewhere else. But I think one of the reasons why they're punting the tight end category is because, you know, they don't want to buy up on tight ends. They don't want to spend a lot of money on Kittle or Kelce. And Kittle's got a tough matchup. But Kelce, I think the snow is starting to spook some of the analysts there. And, you know, from these diagnostics here, it suggests that it's okay to pay up for Kelce this week and try to find how to mix and match your DFS lineup, other positions.
I don't have it on my notes, Mike. Do you know what on DraftKings Kelce's price is right now?
I will check that up.
Put anyone on the spot, but I think it'd be interesting. I still feel he's in the 7,000s.
He's the second price, I think.
6,300. Yeah.
And what's the top tight end going for? Who is it? Higgins, probably.
Kittle at 65.
Sorry, Higby. I meant not Higgins. At 65. Okay, so he's still up there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's a pricey play. But I mean, the one thing you have to be sure is try not to be spooked out by the weather here, because the statistics show he performs well.
So who should we?
The other thing is that Denver ranks 20th in passing defense. So people are able to pass on them, especially if you're in a Pat Mahomes-driven offense. Last time Pat Mahomes played in the snow against Denver, December 15th last year, he went for 343, two TDs, and an interception. So what it's proven is that he is a good player. He can play when he needs to in inclement weather, especially snowy weather like he did last year. And I think Kelce will be the beneficiary in this game. Like, I do have a question regarding the running game. So the other question is, well, what about running backs here? And typically what we've seen with running backs is we've seen an uptick. So the statistical analysis I've done in games that are cold, in which we had precipitation, we saw a 40% increase in receiving yards, a 30% increase in the chances of a TD. And their attempts were a little bit up. So, Mike, how are you feeling this week? Clyde Edwards-Helaire, 26 carries against Buffalo. We have Le'Veon Bell getting into the mix this week. Is Andy Reid going to be running the ball again potentially? And what's that distribution going to look like? Because people need to make this decision on if they're starting and who they're starting.
Yeah, so that's a great point. You know, you go back to last year, right? We didn't see a huge game out of the running backs in that Kansas City-Denver game last year. But you have to also remember their star running back was hurt, the Chiefs, because they were relying on a committee of running backs, you know, where you just, none of those guys last year just didn't really perform.
Was the running back hurt or was the running back kicked off the team?
No, he was hurt. He was Damian Williams. Oh. And he was hurt last year when this happened. So they had to go to guys like Darrell Williams and Shady McCoy, who was just washed up. So they just didn't have a real running back to leverage. So this is a tricky question, Sean. Obviously, we have Le'Veon Bell coming to town. I don't know if he's going to get a big amount of work here. So I think it's still safe to play Clyde Edwards-Helaire, but I'm a little hesitant, you know, especially in DFS formats. I think there's better players at values compared to CEH with the unknown of Bell.
Yeah, I think there's a huge unknown there. I do think there's an upside for TD. I do see the Kansas City Chiefs driving the ball, getting in the red zone. And potentially Le'Veon Bell getting a few carries inside the 10 and maybe doing something with them. But it's just nobody knows what this is going to look like, right? Everybody's guessing on the distribution of carries, and it's anyone's guess at this point. And with the weather, I do expect there to maybe be a few more receiving opportunities, maybe a few more attempts, but who will get them? That's to be determined.
Yeah, on the other side of the ball, you know, we talk about the running backs for the Denver Broncos, right? We have Melvin Gordon coming
who?
Back.
Who will it be?
Melvin Gordon comes back. He's my running back in our fantasy league.
Yeah, I got him in another league. I'm excited to have him back.
Well, I mean, it's good to have him back, but you also saw Lindsay perform quite well. So you might expect there's going to be a 50-50 split there in the work, which limits the upside on both running backs. In a game where there's going to be snow, we saw last year the Denver Broncos offense struggle extremely. You just have to be worried about playing these guys, especially in DFS formats. Honestly, guys, the defense that I picked this week for DFS is the Kansas City Chiefs, because I don't think that – I just don't see Denver scoring a lot of points in this one.
Well,
yeah, I would probably agree. I think they're going to get the attempts potential. I just don't know how much they're going to do with them. And so I'm in agreement with you there, Mike. What about quarterbacks? What about Patrick Mahomes? Mike, how are you feeling about Mahomes' research? He has not performed in really cold games, so below 20 degrees. But he also played in a snowy game last year and went 340 for two TDs. So are you paying up for him this week in DFS?
So I do want to say, and this is something that we've seen, right, in time in, time out, the good offenses still produce in snowy conditions, right? We saw it with Aaron Rodgers last year against the Giants. We saw it with Mahomes last year against Denver Broncos. Even though they, you know, there was some capping in the upside, he didn't get 6 touchdowns like his best game ever. But you know, he still can be a respectable quarterback. He can still throw over 300 yards and a pair of touchdowns. So in DFS formats, I like better guys than Patrick Mahomes. If you're having Patrick Mahomes in your starting lineup, especially if you're doing like a reformat or a redraft league, You still feel pretty confident.
I'll say Vegas doesn't like Patrick Mahomes. The over-under is 48.5.
So what is Kansas City favored by?
Oh, I just had that. Sorry.
I think I put it in my DFS blog today, to be honest. So it's a 12-point favorite for Kansas City.
It's a 12-point favorite, but with an over-under.
Hence the defensive play.
Right. So, I mean, it's always the over-under that we saw in the Buffalo Bills game. I mean, that they got 43 points there in the rain. Mahomes, what was Mahomes' stats yesterday? I got him right here, or last week. 225 yards, 2 touchdowns. I mean,
yeah,
he's got a better, friendlier matchup when it comes to the defense this week.
Yeah, but
yeah, he does. I don't think 250 plus with two TDs is out of the question. Potentially, with some rushing yards in there as well. I mean, he's going to give you a safe floor. I don't see him bombing this game at all. I think, and obviously redraft you're playing him in.
I'm just saying that I don't think he's going to have the stellar Patrick Mahomes games that you sometimes hope for.
Right, exactly. And that's why you could find better options on DFS.
Yeah, no, I'm agreeing. Yeah, I'm agreeing with you guys. Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he is ranked number 3 in DFS. He is $7,400, so maybe you look elsewhere.
I don't think you'll ever see him less than the top 3 quarterbacks ever, no matter what's going on, even if he's playing with an arm behind his back.
Yeah, so are you playing Kyler Murray at Seattle at 71, or are you playing Patrick Mahomes at Denver at 74?
I'm playing Kyler Murray.
Yeah, I mean, this leads into our DFS segment, I think, pretty nicely.
Yeah, that's Sean was hoping we'd get here today. I'm just going to go with that question, you know. That's a good question. I will start. I went with Kyler Murray. I am doing a triple stack. It cost me $20,000 of my budget, which left me first before I get to why. The nice Jets at the cheapest defense at $2,000 against Buffalo Bills. I am hoping for maybe an interception, maybe a fumble recovery, just something to get some fantasy points. I'm not hoping much for them, but I'm hoping. I took Kyler Murray, I took Hopkins, and I took Drake. So I have faith in them against Seattle.
Yeah, that's a solid take. I mean, I'm going with Josh Allen. Last time he played the Jets in our league, he had 40 points. He lit it up. I think he's going to want to redeem himself from last week with a sub 150-yard effort in the air. Jets have complete. I don't even know what's going on with that organization right now. Adam Gase is like, he's like a tyrant there. I don't know. Nobody wants to play for him. That is completely. The whole organization is deflated. Mike, did you realize this, or is this news to you?
I was just oblivious. Thank God for fantasy football.
Yeah, I mean, but I think Josh Allen's. I mean, I know he's $7,700 here, but I expect big things for him this week. Yeah. Against the Jets, so I got to go with him.
He's definitely a big spot for a rebound there, and I understand why you'd want to go with Allen. He probably will be a solid 30-point game performance out of him. You know, when we talked about three quarterbacks, you know, Allen, Mahomes, or Kyler Murray, we kind of brought these guys up. I think I'm sticking. I kind of agree with Colin here. I would rather put my bets on Kyler Murray against that Seattle defense. I think there's going to be a lot of points scored here from the Arizona Cardinals in this matchup. And I think it's going to be a competitive game, right? Russell Wilson's going to be firing. So I think there's going to be a lot of points scored in this one. It's in a dome. Actually, this game got moved. I believe this game got moved, right? From the 4:00 to the 8:20. Double check that.
We should. Yeah. Let's check that.
I updated it in the Fantasy Football Weather Guys table. Yeah. So it did get moved from the 4:05, where it was the Tampa Bay at Las Vegas Rams. I'm sorry, Las Vegas Raiders. Due to COVID risk, they moved that game to 4:05 p.m. and they put the Seattle Arizona game at 8:20. So that's a schedule change, but it doesn't matter for weather because they're both dome games. So, but I like Kyle Murray in this one. I think he's going to have a solid game, and I think he has just enough dollars to be less enough. You know, I think it's like a $600 difference with essentially Josh Allen for me to bite that Murray bait.
And also why I only had $2,000 is because I also took Tyreek Hill. I'm playing on the 2-touchdown game that he had in the snow. I took Tyreek Hill too. I have Hopkins, wow. Tyreek Hill, Kyler Murray, Drake. I put my money in producers. I'm going this way this week. I have not been doing well in DFS with the mindset that I was doing there. I switched it up. We're going to see what happens. And I want to see with the snow. It's more of a validation, too, for kind of a little study I'm doing on myself or on our product. So we'll see.
I mean, here's the thing. And we've seen this in snow games in the past. The better players will be players that are, I mean, for instance, Tyreek Hill, he gets off the ball so quick. He gets down the field. Nobody could keep up with him in a regular format, let alone when it's snowing. I think he gets open here, and I do think he has the potential to have a big game. And along with Kelce, I think that may be, Patrick Mahomes' target. I'm a little worried about his deep throws in this environment. Mm-hmm. But if he does get open, the defense is not going to be able to keep up with him.
Yeah, you're hoping for one of those quick passes for Tyreek to kind of just scurry past the defense. I'm a little worried about Tyreek just because touchdowns are random. You know, we didn't see a huge yardage gate out of him. If you're going to start right. Kansas City Chief, you feel better about Kelce in this one. But, you know, Tyreek Hill, he's a superstar. So, I mean.
I think it's going to be, if Tyreek scores, it's going to be a big game for him. I think Kelce has a tremendously safe floor. I think no worries playing him this week. I'd be a little worried about Hill. I think he can have another bust. But if he hits, he's going to hit.
Yeah. I hope he doesn't bust for my sake. So while we go into this wide receiver discussion, right, Colin, we talked about Tyreek Hill.
A.J. Brown and Christian Kirk.
Yeah. So I put out those three wide receivers here because, you know, Tyreek Hill's in the snow game. A.J. Brown is playing well, but who came back? Corey Davis. He's been activated again from the COVID-19 list. So now the wide wide out number one's back in town. And then we have Christian Kirk, who's been pretty much quiet all year. All of a sudden,
honestly, going to the wideout number one back in town, I am a firm believer that if you're not the wideout number one and there's an injury and you take over that spot, I don't know the stats on this. You almost get protected harder. But when the number one guy comes back, the number one defensive back is on them, you may have an upside there that I always firmly would. I used to think that – I noticed this with Allen Hurns and Robinson back in Jacksonville. I always loved Hurns over Robinson.
Because so you're leading into the Christian Kirk discussion. This is perfect, Colin, because you know why? Christian Kirk has got Devontae Adams going opposite of him.
Right.
I'm sorry. DeAndre Hopkins, excuse me. He has DeAndre Hopkins, same superstar caliber wide receiver, right? He's got DeAndre Hopkins going opposite to him, and now Christian Kirk's getting healthy. And you know what's really important about these guys? Christian Kirk is ranked – he's priced at 4,900, where A.J. Brown and Tyreek Hill are at 6,300 and 6,400 respectively. Mm. So – he's at a discount. So he's obviously the wide out two here, but you know, he's at a discounted price and he's got a better matchup against Seattle, who's been giving up a ton of yards to the deep ball this year. And Christian Kirk is their deep ball threat, where we see Kyler Murray starting to air it out now. So I of these three guys, I actually took the discounted price here and went with Kirk. And I did that Murray Kirk stack.
Nice.
I went with Christian Kirk here with 1,500 less than the other guys. You have some, and you guys mentioned this, so I'm just going to echo what you said. You got Tyreek in the snow game. Again, Mike makes a good point. You know, like it's touchdowns, that's not a very dependable stat. They could come and go. I think his, you know, Tyreek, again, if he booms, he's going to boom, but he can also bust. I don't trust A.J. Brown in this matchup against a top five Pittsburgh passing defense. Especially coming back and then Corey Davis there. So I'm going Christian Kirk here against a very poor, it seems, of late Seattle defense.
Yeah, so just a quick promotion for anyone who's interested in seeing my full DFS lineup that I'm going to be starting against these two guys here. Guys, by the way, I show you my DFS lineup every week, and I think I've won, what is it, 6 out of 7 weeks so far, so I'm ready here. Come on, guys. Let's go. I'm waiting for the challenge. But I just want to promote the blog here. The DFS blog, I put this out every week, and you guys can see my thought and rationale.
I'm going to show the viewers on our website. We have, you know, Sean does the weather blog for us and talks about the stadium locations, and then Doc V's blog every week he puts out. So if you check this out, this basically is the same conversation, but just a little bit more in depth.
And I do want to say, On actual DFS platforms, I've won twice so far. Back-to-back weeks where I won some money on these DFS picks. So I do want to say one thing is important. Having variance in your lineups, guys, trying to find guys, like understanding who the chalk plays are going to be and how you can kind of avoid like any edge you can get where maybe you think that a chalk play might actually bust. You know, these are the things that you have to consider. Some things that I do is I'll take a variant of my lineup that I post here and maybe I do a tweak here and there to see if I can get a little bit more higher point total. And that's been helping a little bit. So it's not always this particular lineup, but maybe some tweaks or variants of it.
And Mike, I want to say, like, I've been looking at your blogs here. They're really well done, especially for those of you who are in the betting sphere here, where you're doing some sports betting. There's some really cool stuff to look at here about over-unders and impacts due to weather and some historical stats that go along with that. So at least you have done that in the past. So I'm not sure about this week, but that's a really good resource. And with the weather blog as well, I kind of highlight for you some player stats there if you want a summary of who to look for and how they've performed and how the position generally performs. You should definitely check out the blogs.
So as we wrap up, we were talking about that the weather impact, the snow in the Dallas game, or Denver, Kansas City game. I'm going to ask, and I'm going to put it out there. Question, over under, what was it? We said 48.5. Mike, on the spot, you take an over under.
Oh, it's a clear under, and Kansas City is going to cover, no problem.
John, same question.
I'm going to say under. I'm not as sure about covering here, but I'm definitely going to say under the 48.5.
So, like always, viewers, we'll update our weather table. We have two potential games. The big one this week is going to be the Kansas City-Denver. Like always, follow us on Twitter. Follow us at FF Weather Guys. Our website, ffweatherguys.com. We'll post this on YouTube. Also, if we do see maybe an uptick in the event, I don't know. We may do a live on Sunday. Stay tuned. But reach out to us. Ask questions. We're available. Again, guys, it's always awesome to talk to you. Mike with that ridiculous hat. I loved it. Sean, any last words? I did have one thing.
I'm sorry, Sean.
Yeah. I have to do this. I apologize, but it's the end. So if you're mad at me, you'll hang up on me. The Giants game, you said that they're going to lose. I had faith until the end, and they somehow found a way to lose.
This is the general pattern for the Giants. If you're a Giants fan, as if you're as a Jets fan, you expect the worst because the worst usually happens.
No. So if the Jets actually start winning games, that's going to be the worst. I'm going to be
so pissed. Have one win. You have how many wins?
Zero. We're going zero. Over.
So in New York, we have one win through 12 games. So
actually in New York we have four wins, and in New Jersey you have one win.
We don't count Buffalo; they don't matter. lot more than the Jets or Giants do. So, props to the Bills. I'm rooting for them.
Well, guys, as always, it was great. Again, follow us at F Weather Guys, and we'll see you next week.
See you later, guys.